When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, we're back. It's been months, weeks, years.
And due to popular demand, we're back. I mean, at least three people have asked when we're back.
Well, Rory, that's all we need. Yep. And those three people, we've answered your call and here we are, back again.
To be fair, one of them was me, but still.
Well, the other two, Alison and myself, because that's really the most tragic start. Three people desperate for the podcast to return. It's the three presenters. Yeah.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Mind you, to be fair, we're always surprised. Remember, we had all had a dinner in Manchester together, and there was a fan who's listening in probably right now, and well, not right now, but
not right now, because that'd be weird.
That'd be weird, but that'd be a real fan. But she was like, "I'm a real big fan of yours," and both me and Journey were kind of sitting near her. We're like, "Are you?" It's like. Why?
Yeah, are you sure? Have you mistaken us for someone else? It's lovely to be doing it again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Alison, I feel like I haven't seen you for a zillion years. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. It has been a zillion years. What season is this, everyone? Can I ask
I don't
this?
Know.
What season?
It's sleeting outside, if that gives you a... Oh, what do you mean as in what season? Not as in what... Is
yes,
it autumn?
I mean like...
Is it winter? What a bell end.
It's yeah. Season 4 or 5, isn't it?
Alison is aware of the seasons. Oh my God. This will tell you, it's been a long time since I've been talking out loud with you two, so I've forgotten how to.
She hasn't been, well, I mean, to be fair, I did stay with Zoe. I stayed with Jen.
Did you stay with Zoe?
Did you? I did not stay
did you have
Zoe.
A nice time with Zoe? Yeah.
I stayed with Jen. I was only meant to be there one night. I ended up being there for four.
Five.
Well, to be fair, probably slept for three of them. So you had 3 days coma.
It was five nights.
Okay, I ended up staying with Jen for five nights. I've got really bad eczema at the moment.
It's actually a lot better.
It is a lot better. But when I turned up at
John's. Who's John? First of all, Zoe. Now it's John.
John and Zoe. Oh, she's got all these friends.
I've got all these pseudonyms.
When I turned up at Jen's doorstep, she opened the door and she went, "Oh my God," because my face just did not look good.
No, it didn't. Chloe and I had to do some patching up. What can we do to help Maureen? So, made you a porridge bath.
I had a porridge bath.
And lots of
vegetables.
Food.
Wait, a porridge bath?
Yeah.
So like for just for her yes. face or like in the tub, you put porridge?
No, whole body bath. I've got eczema all over
what?
My body. By the way, so she's
ravaged by it. So
I'm ravaged with eczema at the moment.
So I made her a porridge bath, and it when I have quite bad eczema, it does. I mean, it doesn't cure it or anything. It just soothes it. It's quite nice. So if when your skin's inflamed, it will just help to sort of cool it down.
I've never once in my entire life heard of a porridge bath. I'm sorry, I'm still just sitting with this for a second. Yeah,
it's really good.
Shall I tell you what you do? Right. So what
yes!
you do?
It's...
You get an old pair. Listen, we're already in with the facts and the learning.
Yeah,
and
this, let's
and we're,
do it.
We're only
eczema
a few
treatment,
minutes
porridge bath, go.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you do is you put, like you get an old pair of tights or something, an old, and then you just put some porridge inside that. That sock tight. It has to be tight. It's not socks because it won't work. Tie a little knot in it. Put it in the bath. Yeah. And then the porridge, just like the, I don't know, the oats will, so the milk from the oats will come through the tights and into the bath. And it acts as a sort of soothing antiseptic and balm for your skin.
Very soothing.
And I said to Maureen, you know, you can do this. When you go home, you can see how simple this is. It's so, so simple. Try to have one of these. If you can, do it every day just to cool your skin down, just to calm it down. Maureen, how many porridge baths have you had since you got home, love?
None, to be fair.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting statistic that I was anticipating, actually. Yeah, but anyway, what I'm trying to do, and it's an uphill battle, Alison, as you know, is trying to get Maureen Younger, who we both know and love, to do things to look after herself.
You'll be pleased to know I made lentil soup yesterday.
Oh, I'm absolutely delighted. I genuinely am. That's great.
It was actually very, very nice.
You liked it?
Yeah, it was nice. And it was easy to make.
It's a whole new world. Okay. So that's what we're trying to do. I mean, I don't think the lentil soup will be enough. I think we need to do it with other things. But that is a start, isn't it? We start with lentil soup and we branch out from there, Alison.
I'm still just sitting with porridge bath. I'm sorry. There are so many interesting remedies I've heard about in the UK that are very...
Is this a British thing?
A porridge bath. Why don't we give her a good leeching? It kind of, you know what I mean? A good leeching once a week, Maureen.
But you say that, like having maggots eat your, I mean, I wouldn't want to do it, but having maggots eat your wounds is actually really, really good.
Okay.
They eat all the rubbish. And the
Given the state of all our healthcare systems, let's get ready for maggot baths, everyone. Regular.
But maggots are actually quite
maggots.
Good.
Okay. Well, this is good to know. Anyone with an open wound, do get yourself a bucket of maggots and see how you go. Let us know how it is in the 14th century with your maggots and your open sores.
A good leeching.
You?
Good leeching, everyone. Just
no, I wouldn't say leeching is good, but you know.
Anyway, I don't even know why we've zoned in on this. Is this how we're this is obviously how we decided that it's okay to start the series by talking about leeching maggots and porridge, but fine. I already know the title of this episode. I already know. I already know Alex has got leeching maggots and porridge, and that's it. And so we don't have to worry about that because sometimes it can be, what are we going to call this episode? We already know.
So, Alison, has your time been porridge free recently?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've eaten some, but I have not had a bath in one. Although the vision of sitting in a bath and eating porridge, I'm not going to lie, it's not.
There's no eating porridge. You're just
soaking it.
You're soaking in the porridge oats and
in the husky milky water.
It's not husky because it's in the tights. It's just milky.
In the tights.
It's just milky. Look, I'm sure it's on the internet.
I believe you.
You believe me? Okay.
I believe you 100%. I mean,
and also, Alison, you know me. I'm not a fatty person, am I?
No, you are definitely not. Actually, I'm actually thinking a porridge bath might be good for Danny. He has rather sensitive skin. Anyway, too much disclosure.
Oh. Let me know how you get on.
I will. I'm very excited. I'll even use his pantyhose. No, I've been pantyhose. Is that a North American term? Pantyhose?
Yeah, it is a North Americanism. It is.
Yeah.
Okay, pantyhose.
What have you been up to, Alison? Just give us some facts.
I'll do a quickie. I've been traveling a lot. Here are my new things when I travel. These are two things I've decided I am permanently traveling with. Number one, my own pillowcase. I am never going anywhere again without my own pillowcase. When I go to a hotel, I don't trust them. I am always traveling with my own pillowcase. I have decided. That is my new thing. Number two, a hot water bottle. I am always taking a hot water bottle with me.
What, for hotels?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I've decided.
There's no three, because I like
I'm at two right now. I'm at two.
Comedy three.
I like a rule of three with everything, Alison. Can we find a third?
A thermos? I always take a thermos. How about that?
But I find hotel rooms tend to be too warm. I don't.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say I'm never cold in a hotel room. If anything, I'm like, crack a window open. I can barely breathe in here.
And you can't crack a window open. That's
no.
In some of the hotels I stay in. There's no windows. There's no windows in the rooms I stay in, Jen. We are in different levels of comedy careers right now. Windows?
If you are staying in windowless hotel rooms, Alison, we need to have a long, hard chat, okay?
No, no amount of porridge baths in the world is going to cure that fucking problem, hey?
No. I mean, Christ, I stayed in one windowless room at a Best Western in Nottingham, and that was one of the bleakest days. I'm sure I've talked about this at the time, where I was where I was lying on the bed. The room was so small, there was like a very thin prefab wall next to, and that's where the toilet was. So in actual fact, my head was inches away from the toilet at all times. It was just a tiny little thin wall and no window. And I thought to myself, I don't think, and we all know who this promoter is. we all know. I don't need to say this person's name. I just thought this person's not paying me enough.
Yeah, there's several. I can't narrow it down is the problem, Jen.
You can. You absolutely can. Well, it looks like we've all had the dullest of times since we finished this podcast before Christmas. Unbelievable. Absolutely. It's been months. But this is really on brand, isn't it?
I have got something, but I'm going to keep it next week because I did do something exciting.
Oh.
But
you're holding out for episode two.
I'm holding out for next week, guys. This is like a taster.
This is a taster. So what we've actually had, more starts with a porridge bath, but next week, boom, that's when the excitement starts. Okay. Yeah. Maureen, save it. We can't introduce all the glamour in the first episode. No. Anyway, we've done it. That's our week, stroke 3 months. What a tragic state of affairs. And now it's time to turn, as we always do at this time, to lighten our loads. Well, no, it's not lightening our loads. If anything, she's adding to the load, for Christ's sake. Yeah, it's time to go to Maureen Younger to find out what there'd be my money moment is.
I messaged Jen. I have just put olive oil in my eyes. Going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
I've actually realised I've got to swap it because the Be My Maureen was with the other glamorous story that I'm going to tell next week. So this is a new Be My Maureen. I was at the Comedy Store one night gigging, and I had to leave early, so. There's an etiquette because people are on stage, so you don't want to draw attention to yourself. And I am usually not subtle, as we know. So I'm tiptoeing out the Comedy Store so nobody notices I'm leaving. I'm saying goodbye to the acts, say goodbye to security, zoom out at the door, go to make a phone call. Can't get my phone to open, so I'm getting a bit annoyed trying to make this phone call. Can't get it open. And then I realise it's not my phone. I've stolen somebody else's phone.
this is my nightmare.
Thank God you didn't go home with it.
I know. Could you imagine if I'd gone home?
I can imagine.
People could be asked to go back.
I can imagine. And then somebody going, where's my phone?
And also it's a green room, so there's only about five people in there. So it's like, it's going to be quick, figure out who did it. So I had to go back through security. I've just said a big goodbye to the guy. Go back down. I'm trying to tiptoe back past the comics. I've just tiptoed past. Paul Thorne goes to me, what the hell are you doing? I went, oh, I've just stolen somebody's phone. He went, typical. I went, what the hell? Anyway, go back in, leave the phone. I don't know whose phone it is. Leave it on the table, presumably where I picked it up from. Go back out. Archie Maddox is there. He's going, what the hell are you doing? I said, oh, I just stole somebody's phone. He went, that sums you up. And he just pisses himself laughing. Basically, I accidentally stole another comedian's phone.
Nobody's surprised by this. Not only nobody in that green room and in that whole comedy club, but nobody listening to this podcast is at all surprised by that. But I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a nice one to ease us into, Alison, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good. Did you locate your phone?
Oh no, I had my phone all the time. I just picked that one up.
Hold on a second. I thought you'd left your phone behind.
No. I hadn't left my phone. I picked up that phone as an extra by mistake. I must have just seen the phone and just thought, oh, this is my phone, and just picked it up while I still had my phone. I always had my own phone.
So you always had your phone, but you thought, oh, that's definitely my phone, and added it to the pocket of phones that you already had. I mean, fine.
12 phones.
Oh, and you've got very heavy pockets. Oh, I've got phones.
So, yeah, I always had the phone, but I just picked it up because I just, you know, it was there and I just thought it was my phone.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was going to say, we've all done it. I've never done it, but I mean, I imagine it's something that's not entirely unusual when you don't know that you've got your phone and you see if a phone, you pick the phone up. God, I don't know. Anyway, well, Maureen, thank you very much for our very first Abima Maureen back in 2023. As always, it's not disappointed me. If anything, it's just...
It's made me realise when I'm around Maureen, I need to buy a very distinctive phone case. A very...
I don't think that would make any difference.
Probably not. It could have a big sign on it that says, Maureen, don't fucking touch it. I better take my phone.
I don't think it was an iPhone, and it was different colour, and it was a different size. So, I mean, it wasn't anything like my phone.
I mean, so it wasn't even... didn't even look like your phone?
No, it didn't look like my phone. I realised that when I tried to ring from it.
Right.
It's weird.
So I'm just trying to figure out the impetus for you picking up a phone that doesn't look like your phone.
Well, I just thought it was my phone.
But if it doesn't look like your phone, why am I trying to attach logic to this?
I wasn't paying that close attention.
Well, clearly.
I just thought, oh, that's my phone.
This is Maureen. Like, honestly, she just grabbed what was there.
Joan, you're making the mistake of trying to find logic in what I do.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I'm trying to do
this. This is the thing. After however many seasons, we should learn.
It's just no point.
I mean, the break has created a sort of schizoid reaction in me where I've forgotten all previous Be More Maureens and tried to...
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Maureen Younger, thank you very much for your Be More Money moment. As always, it was completely, I don't know, batshit, but on brand. And that's why we always have to go... back over to the person, the only person in this trio that actually makes any sense, and thank God for her. It's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it. No, no.
No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
I do not make sense, but I appreciate that you think I do. I'm creating a great illusion.
I mean, comparatively.
It's all relative, Alison.
to grabbing random phones. I just have an image of Maureen in a trench coat just opening up. What, you want Rob Beckett's phone? I got Rob Beckett's phone here. What do you... You want a Susie Ruffle? I got a Susie Ruffle phone here. That's great. I love it. Okay, so the first problem to start off the season, I am doing this one because it got lost in the ether, and I feel... horrible, and you will realize it when I read the problem. Oh, God, we were away for a while. We lost some problems. So here we go. Hi, Alison. Not sure if this is too late, but I thought I would write it anyhow. I'm having a little freak out because I was invited to go spend Christmas. That's right, everyone. This is a Christmas write-in, which is why I'm addressing it. But I think this problem can relate to any season. I know, and I don't want to have anyone left out. So I've been...
What season are we?
I'm not sure.
All
it's
right,
sleeting outside in Brighton.
Did I tell you it's sleeting outside? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's sleeting. It's sunny in Manchester. Anyway, so I'm having a little freak out because I was invited to go spend Christmas with a friend in another town. Lovely. I said, yes, cool, great. Looking forward to it. Then my friend says, oh, my parents are going to be there. No problems. I mentioned going to an event over the weekend and said it was nice to be around a ton of other gays. She then immediately fired back with a list of things that I'm not allowed to talk about. So, I'm feeling weird about going now and spending 3 days having to watch my P's and Q's and listening to a bunch of irritating stuff. Now, again, Christmas time, but I thought this is an excellent thing to talk about in general because... you have been invited and you're the buffer friend. You have been invited to be the person, it sounds to me, like to kind of, it sounds like there's some tension, obviously, in the family, some things they don't want to talk about. So you've been invited to be the buffer friend. No problem, right? I myself am a very good buffer friend. I've been a buffer friend in many situations. I got no problem being the middle person trying to keep tensions, this and that. What I don't like about this situation is that you were not fully made aware of everything surrounding this situation, which is why I feel like, I don't know what you did, but you had every right, in my opinion, to decide, look, maybe this isn't for me. I think your friend was reaching out. Yes, you wanted to be supportive. Yes. Do I feel like there was not everything given to you, all the information? Yeah. So I just want to say to you and to your friend, in the future, disclose all information. You are being a supportive friend, in my opinion, because she was worried about not being a supportive friend. You are being a even considering still going. There are a lot of factors that have been thrown at you. In my, I would have pulled. I'm sorry. I would have pulled. So I think you are a supportive friend already for debating going. Also, look. You sound to me like the type of person that this has happened to before. You're a supportive, good friend. But I think you need to also be clear on what boundaries and what situations you want to put yourself in. Because if you're one of these people who's there for people, you'll be supportive, you'll put yourself in these situations, you're going to drain yourself. So I'm glad that you took a moment to go, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I want to go. Good. Trust your instincts. This is the biggest thing I got to say above all else. Trust your own instincts, people, and only put yourself in situations that you feel you want to go in, that you can handle, that won't drain you. So that is the biggest thing I wanted to say is that I think you are, I want you to analyze too. Be careful. Are you a people pleaser? Sometimes if you are a people pleaser, you're so willing to do things that it's hard to like go, no, I don't want to go in that situation. And you are allowed to. So if you went, God, you're a good person. You're better than me because I wouldn't have wanted to be having to hide so much. If you didn't go, I think you're absolutely in the right. That's absolutely fine. Be careful about being a people pleaser or a buffer friend. There's nothing wrong with that role. But you have to know exactly what you're getting into. And if people don't fully disclose all that information, I think you have every right to make whatever decision you want. That's my advice for the person who wrote in. And I'm sorry it's so late after Christmas. The other part of me wishes you just would have gone and given those parents one hell of a Christmas experience. Get ready, Mom and Dad.
I don't think I could ask anyone to do that. I think that's too much, especially somebody I know is like a lesbian and just go, could you just not mention the lesbian?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like,
do you mind not talking about all of you? Can you just...
Do you mind not being yourself? Please come over and celebrate, but please just hide a big chunk of who you are.
It's not fair.
I'm so sorry, but no. Also, if you are an adult and you still have a problem with lesbian, gay, bisexual or pansexual, trans people or whatever, if you have any problems with anybody on that along that acronym, grow up. Grow up. I'm sorry. I just don't have the time or the patience to deal with anyone that's a homophobe. No. And I've certainly, I'm not going to give them any of my energy or time. And if I can't be myself in front of them, fuck them. Fuck them. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
We're all grown-ups now. We've been through that. If you are anywhere, like if you are a lesbian or gay or trans or whatever, you've had to put up with enough shit at this point anyway. It's certainly not going to compromise my Christmas to be around people who don't even like me just on the basis of my sexuality. No!
You'd rather they didn't like you based on your personality.
I mean, that's
you?
Different, actually. And to be fair, Maureen, we could all lean into that and we'd all empathise with that. We'd all be like, oh yeah, I mean, absolutely dreadful personality. But come on, the sexuality thing is nuts. But then I've got such low tolerance for any kind of homophobia now, I just can't be bothered. Or transphobia. Just fuck off. But anyway, I think that was better advice than I would have given, which was don't go. Fuck it.
I mean, do whatever, you know, I feel like, oh, if you put yourself in this situation, what other situations are you willing to put yourself in? I would, you know, I just, and again, it's one thing if somebody goes, hey, my parents are going to come. They're a little dead, you know, but you did, she didn't give her all the information. That's what drives me crazy.
Yeah, no.
It's like you got kind of tricked into it.
Yeah, but people do that because they want her to say yes, don't they? I've been in that where people don't give you all the information because they want you to say yes.
And look, you know, I mean, I sort of partly get it that you want to have like some allies with you when you're with people that that do your head in. But
yeah,
I just think, or just don't go. Don't invite your parents. Just go, look, I'll see you on that day. But I'm not going to spend 3 days with you. We don't have to do that anymore, do we?
No.
Anyway, Alison, that was very good advice and a great start to the series, just kicking it off with some banging Alison advice. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for writing in person. Thank you.
I mean, Alison will get to it. So, and albeit three months after you've sent it and it no longer being relevant, she will get to it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. It's time to find out what the hell we've all been watching over the last 3 months. Let's keep it, you know, tight, though.
I have to say, the best programme so far this year, Happy Valley.
OK.
Have you started watching it, Alison?
No, but people keep going on about it. People loved it.
Oh, my goodness. There was episode, at the end of episode 2 of the third series, Jane can back me up, it was 5 minutes of the most thrilling TV I've ever watched. It was amazing. And somebody said on, I think it was on Twitter or somewhere, that, you know, people spend millions of pounds making these films to make this kind of really tense film or something. And honestly, you're two middle-aged women on a mobile, one with a cheese sandwich in front of her. And it was like 5 minutes where it was just gripping. And I tell you how good it is that I don't look at my phone. The whole time episodes are on, don't once look at my phone, because you're just so gripped. And I think what's great for me particularly is you've got a middle-aged woman who's a three-dimensional character, warts and all, you know, and there's lots of things that you can relate to. So she's really good at her job. And she finds a body and she knows exactly who it is. She gets dismissed by men who are obviously in a higher position than her. They completely dismiss her. She turns around, she goes, oh, no, I know who it is. It's so-and-so. And she explains why. And as they walk off, she just goes, twats. And you just think, every woman has been in that position where a man has assumed you don't know what you're talking about. And there's so many great speeches there. There's so much to enjoy. And Sarah Lancashire, she's fantastic in it. And it's great having a female character that is so three-dimensional for a change, you know? I loved it. Jane, what do you think? You liked it as well, didn't you?
I did. I don't know that I loved it as much as you. I did think it was good. I did not think that last series was as good as the other series, personally. Right. And I didn't like the ending. But I still agree with you. I think it is a brilliant show. And that scene that you were talking about, that particular scene with the two sisters, was one of the best bits of TV I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, it just captured that tension. It was like, oh, you're on the edge of your seat. It was brilliant.
It was hard to top it because it was such a good, great bit of television, that one
yeah,
scene.
Yeah, and actually that was the best bit for me in the whole series. But it's a show that I think it's always hard to... We all had our theories. We all had our ideas of how it would end. And I suppose there's always a little bit of, you know, I was like, oh, I think it's going to go this way, or I think it's going to go that way. And when it went a completely different way, I was like, oh, I think I was just disappointed that, you know. It's a great show. And if you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat. I think you can still stream every single series on iPlayer. It was on Netflix for ages as well.
It was on Netflix for ages. It'll probably go back on.
Alison, my TV recommends, I'm sure you're watching, it's The Last of Us.
Oh.
And it's on...
Of course I am, because you know where it's filmed.
Is it filmed in Canada?
Calgary, Alberta. I'm from. It's filmed where I grew up.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful backdrop. Like, part, you know, when they're, you know, there's, I think it's episode 5 when they're, episode 6. It doesn't matter. When they're out in the snow and...
Yeah,
it looks stunning. It looks really beautiful. I mean, the backdrop is the end of the world. But aside from that, Canada's really shining through through the apocalypse. It looks great. Great backdrop. If you haven't watched it, yes, it is yet another apocalyptic stroke zombie series that I have attached myself to. As you know, these are some of my favourite shows. For any of you thinking I don't like those kind of shows, fear not. It's barely, the zombies barely make an appearance. It's not about that, is it?
No.
It's about a relationship between two people, a young girl and an older guy in his 50s, played by Pedro.
And it's not sexual. It's not
It's just not a sexual. Yeah. Pedro Pascal, who is having his moment at the moment, isn't he? Because he's in absolutely everything. And rightly so, because he's brilliant. He's so good in this. So good. And the young girl in it, Bella Ramsey, is also brilliant. In fact, the whole cast, because there's also people playing one-off parts in it. The infamous episode 3 with Nick Offerman and Murray Bartlett. That is possibly a standalone episode, just a beautiful...
It's a beautiful movie story in and of itself. Like, it is gorgeous. It's
completely separate to the main storyline. And really, the whole show is about love and loneliness and connection and how you survive without love. You can't. You can live... I mean, I suppose you can survive, but you can't live without love. And that's what the whole show is about. And yes, in the background, there are people who appear to be growing mushrooms on their faces.
Fungus zombies.
There are fungal zombies in the background, but they're so in the background. And it's not that you forget they're there, but I got Chloe to watch it. And you know how much she hates any kind of horror. She hates anything like that. And she's really enjoying it, and she wasn't expecting to. And I think it's because it's not like The Walking Dead. It's not like, you know, Black Rain or whatever. It is just a story that has that as a vehicle to talk about other bigger subjects. And I'm absolutely loving it. Weirdly, there's only 9 episodes. That's really pissed me off. Why can't they do 10? Do 10 next time. That's a random odd number of 9. I'm already like, I can't wait for the next series. And I'm really glad that it's not like a limited series, you know. I haven't enjoyed a show this much since Mare of Easttown.
Oh, so,
you know how much I wanged on about that. Yeah, that's my recommendation. Please, if you can access Now TV or HBO, do watch it. It's brilliant. Really, really good. Now, Alison, I'm glad that you're watching that with me, but also I know that you're going to deep dive into the horror. Talk to me.
I am going to deep dive into the horror, but I love that you are watching that. And yeah, I can't back Jen enough on that. If you haven't seen it, it's a phenomenal story. Like, it's great.
It's great. So, yeah. It's great storytelling. And that third episode, oh my God, whoever the writers are with that, I just... Oh. Also, I love...
And Nick Offerman was so good in it. He was so good.
Both of those actors were so good in it. Yeah, and who knew... You were going to have a little cry, huh? We all had a little weep. Am I right?
Yeah.
Alex?
Yeah, 100%.
Alex, did you have a little
and
weep?
It's not often you cry during a zombie series, everyone. All I'm saying is
that's not normal, so we've got
something special.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got something special, so it's a good one. So, but in more of the realms of horror, as we were talking about the invitation of the friend, the buffer friend at Christmas, and so I started to think about, okay, what's a horror about maybe being invited to something and not trusting your gut when it tells you maybe you shouldn't go? So there is a great horror movie I would like to tell you all about. Now, I say great horror movie. It's not action-packed. There's not a lot of screaming. It's more dialogue. It's more character relations. So if you're not into a lot of jump screams, like Maureen, this might be more your kind of jam.
Okay.
It is called The Invitation. So David and Eden tell their guests about a cult-like group they've joined along with Pruitt and Sadie called The Invitation, which helps people work through problems from their past. Okay. So first off, they don't know. They get invited to this thing. It's their the guy's ex-wife. They're invited to this dinner.
That's always going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but then for whatever reason, it's L.A. They've maintained friendships. They do this in L.A., right? Yeah, it's my ex. But so they're going to go for dinner. But they're like, I don't know. I feel weird about it. I feel like we shouldn't go. I know. It'll be fine. Let's go. So they go. They find out these people have joined somewhat of a cult. Basically, you know, stuff ensues. We meet members of the cult that turn up. The real great twist at the end is we go out in the backyard. We see in the backyard there is a red light, a red lantern that has been lit. You look across the all of L.A. and you see that there's a whole bunch of red lanterns that have been lit and put in the backyard. So basically, it's just saying this cult has, like, reached a bunch of people. You hear sirens. So I'm not going to tell you exactly what happens, but essentially it's like, they get invited to this thing. It's a cult. We realize the cult has reached across L.A. Madness ensues. But it's more of like each individual story. And yeah, so it's The Invitation. I really enjoyed it. I thought it literally suits this problem to a T, which is trust your instincts. If something is telling you not to go somewhere, don't fucking go. Like, I cannot... You are not a bad person to not go to things that you're like, I feel that I should not go. Don't go. Don't go. Watch The Invitation and realize why it is you should always trust your gut. That's my horror recommendation.
Okay, that looks great. I mean, it looks like one of those horrors that you're just going to, it's going to be a rip-roaring horror. You're going to have fun watching it. And it's also probably a pile of crap. Is that right, Alison?
Yeah, it's a total pile of crap. You're going to find yourself going, well, why did they do that? Why are they there? What's happening?
Yeah, but that's what I want from a horror film. I've realised the reason why I like, and I don't like torture horror or anything like that. That's not my thing. But just like jumpy, scary stuff. It's because I kind of just want that. Do you know, it's sort of like cathartic, isn't it? To go on that journey with those and you're like, rah! And then you forget about it and you're like, oh, I've dealt with all that anxiety. Now it's gone.
Yeah.
I think that's what horror films, so many people watch horror films
they
for.
They are a cathartic experience. It is a cathartic experience. You're getting out frustration. Yeah. To me, we love yelling at people, like you said, Jen. We love yelling at people in the movie. That's what Danny and I love doing more than anything. Like,
oh,
don't leave the group.
What are you doing?
Why are you leaving the group?
Don't
leave
the group.
Leave
Why
the group.
Would you go?
Yeah.
For heaven's sake, is there a light switch? Switch the light on. Why are you going in the dark? Turn on the lights. For the love of God, and never go anywhere on your own. What are you doing?
No, let's all break up to investigate the... No, why?
No.
Don't break up. What are you doing?
Don't. There's something under the bed. Anyway, 29% on Rotten Tomatoes should give you an idea of what to expect from that movie.
everyone.
And, that's and quite by a the high way, foot, Alison, choice.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Double figures.
By the way, that is what I want from a horror film. That is what I want.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Alison. That looks like an absolute barnstormer of a horror that we can get tucked into, for God's sake.
Especially if you're into cult stuff. I've been obsessed with cults lately. Maybe I want to join one. I don't know. I can't stop watching cult stuff. So, yeah, I don't know.
You absolutely don't.
I don't want to join one. I've already joined several, I'm sure, cults by being involved with various weight loss groups throughout my life.
This is a cult, isn't it?
When I was young, I used to go to a Christian club, and my dad was worried that they would indoctrinate me. And then he went, it gets to the point where you've got to give them all your money. It would all break down. Which is true, because I'd be like, oh, I'm not that much of a believer.
Yeah. You can have my soul, you can't have my money.
Yeah, you're not having my money.
No, that's not happening. Alison, thank you very much for your horror recommendation. What a brilliant recommend. It's back over to you, Maureen Younger. It's time for your corner. It has not been cultured for some time. I've just got
again.
A little spoon and I'm just giving it a little stir. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Well, it was going to be called Free London, but actually one of the places I was going to suggest now charges a nominal charge. So it's now Free, Cheap and Cheerful London. So a couple of places,
okay.
If you're coming to London or you live in London, you know, you might not go to, which is, you know, very good value for money, in some cases free. So I'm just going to do three of them. One of them is the Ceremony of the Keys, which I've actually done. I don't know if any of you have done it, which is at the Tower of London.
I think I have. Yeah, but when I was a kid. A long time ago.
It's it used to be free. Now they charge a nominal charge of a fiver, which is basically the cup of a coffee nowadays in London. And what it is, it's a ceremony going back hundreds of years where they lock the Tower of London. It's not, you just don't watch somebody just lock a door. There's a whole ceremony of it. Would that be like, pay £5 to watch this? No.
I'm going to start charging 10 for people to come to my house. I'm like, look, here we go. I'm locking it. Don't lock.
It'd be like, that'd be a very short ceremony. What you've got to remember is the British, we can't run trains properly, blah, blah, blah. We've got a corrupt government, but we're really good at pomp and ceremony. And so there's a whole ceremony. And you're in the Tower of London late at night, and they do this whole thing where they have to go and lock the ceremony of the keys. And it's a big ceremony. So you get to watch it. You have to book in advance. Tickets go very quickly. And from the website, what it looks like is they release tickets the first working Monday of every month for the next month. So if you're coming to London, you need to, you know, book in, like obviously on that Monday as quickly as possible because these tickets go. And it's the whole thing. If you've never been to the Tower of London, it is very atmospheric. And it's that idea of you're in this amazing building that's over 1,000 years old, you know, late at night, and you've got the Yeomen of the Guard doing their ceremony. So that's something worth watching, going to see. The other thing is the Sky Garden. Have you two been to the Sky Garden?
No. I have, yeah. No. I went not last Christmas, but the Christmas before. We took the kids in between Christmas and New Year and we took them to the Sky Garden. It's great.
It's great. It's a three-floored atrium at the top of the walkie-talkie building on Fenchurch Street. And it's basically a subtropical garden with great views of London. Again, it's a ticketed event. They release tickets on the Monday, so you need to get in on the Monday. And I think you can stay there for about an hour. You can also cheat, I believe, because they've got a restaurant up there. So you can get in early if you book the restaurant for breakfast. Obviously, you have to pay for the breakfast. But that's a way of, like, kind of beating the queues if you want.
Oh,
but
we got in. Do you know what I mean? You're absolutely right. You're supposed to ticket. It's supposed to be ticketed. You're supposed to prepay your ticket.
But because it was... book it, you don't pay.
Pre-book it, not pay, sorry. And they won't let you in unless you've booked it. But we turned up and they just... because it was, I think, between Christmas and New Year, it's dead in London. We got in. They were just lucky.
There are walk-in slots as well, I think. There are walk-in slots, but obviously that will depend. But yeah, it's worth doing just because it's something different. You don't expect to be in a subtropical garden on Fenchurch Street.
The views are incredible.
And the views are amazing.
I would say, I know they talk about the Shard a lot, but I mean if...
That's £30.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. And the views are just as good from the Sky Garden. You get to see, you can see miles around London and you can see the tower and you can see the monument and sort of all the way out towards Parliament. And yeah.
Because you're in the city, which was London, wasn't it? The city was originally the you know, where London started. So yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. And the third place, I mean, this is a favourite of mine, is the British Library. Now, the British Library also puts on exhibitions, which you have to pay for, but they're generally well curated. But it's also got its own little exhibition of, and if you're into books, it's just amazing. It's got one of the greatest literary, scientific, music, art and sacred texts. So it's got the Magna Carta, which is very important in British history. It's got one of the original Magna Cartas. It's got one of the original first folios from Shakespeare. So Shakespeare's plays were first produced or printed after his death in the first folio, and there's about over just 200 left. And they've got one of them. They've got the Gutenberg Bible. They've got notebooks of Leonardo da Vinci. They've got handwritten manuscripts from Jane Austen, Bronte, Dickens. They've got musical notations from Mozart to McCartney. And it's a very small exhibition, so it's a very doable exhibition. It's free entry. And also, being the British Library, it's got a really great bookshop as well.
And a great cafe.
A great cafe. And also, you can get a pass to be in the British Library, in the reading room, which has had so many famous people in there studying. And you can apply for a pass to go to the British Library and read and get reference books, et cetera, et cetera. It's right by King's Cross St. Pancras Station. So if you've got like an hour to kill or something, it's worth popping in there. That's my tips.
Great. Mm. Those are all really good suggestions, Maureen.
I 100% am going to go to the Sky Garden. That sounds so lovely.
Oh, you will really like it.
Yeah, it really is. It's lovely. And like Maureen said, completely free, which, you know, it's quite hard these days to find stuff that's for free in London now because everything is, you have to pay for everything now.
Oh, and can I also say, I'm doing a series of photos and little stories about great women on my social media.
So I've been following that, Maureen, and it's brilliant. I've really enjoyed every day. There's a different woman that you're putting up,
woman.
And they're all absolutely incredible people who've done
amazing things that no one seems to have any...
any idea. Of course, history is definitely his story. It doesn't tend to be her story. So if you want to look, check my social media, Maureen Younger, and there's loads of women you can choose from and you can find out more about them. Like, people didn't know, one of them, just to pick out, of Irene Sendler, who was this Polish nurse who helped Jewish kids flee from the ghetto. And she got taken by the Nazis. They broke her legs, they broke her feet. She was crippled for life. She refused to give them information. And when she, after the war, she'd hidden in code where these children had gone to so they could find these children and try and bring them back with their parents. Obviously, a lot of the parents had been killed. But she was an amazing woman. She's like, I wasn't the hero. And I'm thinking,
you absolutely were.
So, yes, there's a whole collection of numerous women. So if you want to check that out, and then just anyone that takes your fancy, just have a look into their stories.
Brilliant, Maureen. That's such a... I'm really glad that you're doing that. And it's over... you're doing it over the course of the month, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not doing it every day. But yeah, I'm doing it over March,
Yeah, no, so it's a really, really interesting. So yeah, definitely check out Maureen Younger's Instagram for that, because it's... I've very much enjoyed reading about all these really fascinating women.
That people don't know about.
No, I know. And it's just really, like, infuriating. I mean, like, literally, that is getting... That's definitely got my goat.
Talking of which, Jen, what's got your goat?
Yeah. Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, OK? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. What has got my goat? Well, I'm going to keep it light. You know, because, I mean, we don't want it. We don't want to start on a downer, do we? But of course, I have got to moan about something, because that's my jam, isn't it? That's what
it
I do.
It's your jam.
I tell you what's got my goat today. Are these bloody cold sores on my face? Look, I don't... I mean, Maureen, you haven't got your glasses on, lovely, so you probably can't see them.
I can't see.
Yeah, it's for the best. It's for the best. Two little tiny... I say tiny. They're like absolutely humongous. I haven't had any cold sores. The reason why these have got my goat... if I can just talk about my herpes for a while. I haven't had... guys, lean in. I haven't had cold sores for ages. Like, I used to, up until actually really quite recently, I get them regularly. Every time I run down, I get cold sores. Every time I think I'm going to get a cold or I'm going to get sick, it starts with a cold sore and then I get flu or something. And then for ages, in fact, since COVID, right, I haven't had any... cold sores. And I genuinely, it was not even that long ago, maybe like a month ago, I said to Chloe, I think I've just, like, not going to get cold sores anymore.
Never say it out loud. I've just... you did that to yourself, Jen.
That's tempting fate. Aww. The gods hear you. Have you never looked at Greek tragedy? I mean, come on.
I know. Well, the Greek tragedies have, like, popped up on both of my lips. and as I felt them forming last night, I thought... there's nothing I can do to stop these now. Because also everyone's like, have you tried Bonjela? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Have you tried Blistex or whatever it is? It's like, mate, I've been having cold sores for like 48 years. I probably came out of my mum with a cold sore. There's nothing works on me now. I can put anything on there. My cold sore just goes, yeah, I'm still going to keep growing, love. So I've just accepted that these two bad boys are going to continue. But the disappointment I felt last night as I felt them begin, you know, because you can feel the buzz of it happening. If you've never had one, you get a little buzz in your lips and you're like, you know it's coming, and then you know when you wake up you're going to look like the elephant woman. So yeah, that's really got my goat. I thought I'd just, the hubris of it, to think that I wasn't going to get another cold sore. I mean, what was I thinking? Of course I'm going to. It's in my blood. It's like, you can't, once you've got it, you can't shake it. You ask any doctor, once you get a cold sore, they're like, well, that's you herpified for the rest of your life.
So, Alison, what skin disease are you going to get to join me and Jen?
Yes, actually, that's absolutely right. If you want to stay in our gang, you better get some sort of facial disorder,
some lesions or something. Okay, well, I do suffer cold sores. I suffer cold sores, and I was going to be one of these jerks that was like, I have some suggestions for you, Jen. Have you tried the patches, the stick over patches?
I've got like 100 of them. I could stick on about 6 of those and my cold sore just creep out from the other side. Because they don't work. They don't work.
But what they do, it helps spread. It won't spread. So you got one there because one came up And then it goes to that one because it's touching. The other thing is, have you been to your doctor and actually gotten a Ciclovera? It's a medication you can get. And the moment you feel that tingle, you take the medication and it will stop.
Really?
I promise you.
Ciclovera.
A Ciclovera.
That sounds like some sort of STD. Okay. I got Ciclovera.
Fight an STD.
I've got a cream for that.
Yeah, you get it. But it does help. But I'm so sorry. What I'm trying to think. I do have sensitive skin. Oh, I quite often have allergies. Can I be a part of the gang?
Only if they come out.
Hives?
Yeah, I get hives. I get hives.
Okay, you're in.
Oh, thank
you're in.
God.
Thank God. Do you know what I mean, Alison? Both Maureen and I were like, how's this going to roll if she doesn't have some sort of skin disease?
I got lesions. I got them. Let me in. Let me stay in the gang. Hang on.
You're in. You've got hives. Maureen's got whatever the fuck she's got. And I appear to be growing two people out of my lip. Anyway, this has been a joy. And on that note, this has been one of the best episodes of my life. I've never enjoyed a podcast more. We've peaked. That's it. I don't think we need to do another one, actually. That's it. Well done.
Yeah.
Mic drop. Women Talking Bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?